Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? Hi, everyone. We are doing this very fun series, at least to me it's fun, on tiny habits. So my goal here is to give everyone micro ways to embed kind of nervous system regulating and stress management practices into their very busy lives. Because like we'll hear about self-care and all these things, and it all sounds amazing. None of us have time to do that. So how can we embed this in micro ways? And by doing so, these tiny habits become habitual. They become habits. And in that, they become longevity practices. They become things we do over time, which is really what sustains us. These like one-off, like, yeah, I'm going to this ball to get a massage, or like, I'm going to the gym for this class. Great if they're habits and you do them regularly, but not so great if they're not done regularly, because they only benefit you if you keep doing them. So tiny habits are a better, easier, I think, option. So two or three episodes ago, I talked about tiny habits in general. I'd recommend, highly recommend going back and listening to that. The last two episodes were on the importance of breath work and like how to integrate that in micro practices and alternatives to meditation and the integration of nature. Today, we're talking about something called flow state. So I'm not just telling you about flow state. I'm like telling you how to get into it and why it's important, why this is a micro practice is a really good thing to embed into your life. So I like to call flow state child state, because I feel like children enter into this state so easily and so seamlessly. Like I literally had someone tell me last night during one of my classes I was teaching, my co-facilitator actually, she said that she has a kiddo that's I think 4, and he's been taking these like Thomas the Trains, and they, you know how they have the magnets on the front and the back, and he's been sticking them underneath the the table to like the metal bars, and they dangle and they hang from those metal bars, and he just sits there and he just kind of like watches them. And I said to her, I said, wow, what a great flow state. Like he's fully present with that activity. He's watching those things. Like there's the sensory components and he's not thinking probably about anything else. He's just like, he's there. He's in the state, child state. So easy for them to enter. I see all the time when I see my kiddo loves to dig in the sand. So we walk across the street to the park almost daily if we can. And I watch him in this flow state, just immersed in these sand tools. Like he's throwing the sand, like not at anyone. He's just like throwing it up in the air. He's digging holes. He's rolling in it. Like he's a sandy mess till we get back and there's sand everywhere. And that's totally okay with me because he's in such a deep flow state. And that's so good for his health. So child state, I'm going to kind of use those terms interchangeably, flow state, child state. Okay. Now, what exactly is it? It's like that trance-like state. It's intense investment of body and mind, or at least mind. Yeah, probably body too. And you're so present with what you're doing that you may not even hear people talk to you. Kids, especially, like when I'm like, hey, Emerson, time to go. He does not hear me. And he's not ignoring me. He just doesn't hear me because he's in such a like trance-like state. Okay. So entering that state as adults is really hard. It's harder. Because as we grow into adults, our minds become busy with noise and thoughts and worries and expectations and so many other things. So it's harder to kind of like filter through and get like swim through those thoughts and get to like the calm on the beach where we're resting our mind. We're just like, help. So we struggle to quiet our minds and therefore our stress. We struggle to manage it. We struggle to manage our overwhelm, our anxieties. So what will help to heal this? What will help to alleviate this? Child state, flow state. Okay, so again, fully present and immersed in the activity that you're doing. Here's how I feel like I experience this most regularly. One, when I'm hiking. Two, when I'm reading a good book. Like I'm just immersed. I'm not thinking about anything else. Even when I'm hiking, I can, my mind can wander. And if I'm reading a scientific book and I'm not into it, my mind might wander. But for the most part, when I'm reading a book or hiking, I'm really in a trance-like state. Okay, hard to achieve this state again because societal expectations, distractions. Like, I mean, I'm here in my office recording this podcast, and I'm like looking out the window, and they're building a new building next door, and I hear the hammers, and I hear people talking, and I hear Latin music, and I'm just like, I'm totally distracted. So it's hard. It's hard to do this. So best to plan for it because it doesn't necessarily always come easily or naturally. So let's do this. I'm going to challenge you to block 3 minutes for flow each day. This could be first thing in the morning. It could be before bed. It could be at lunch. It could be whenever. During this 3 minutes, I'm going to ask you to kind of think about, choose a small act as something that you really, really love and enjoy. Something you can get totally immersed is the word I'm looking for, immersed into. And just stick with it for 5 minutes, 3 minutes. And if you can go for five, that's even better. So max it out at five, aim for three. But in order to get there, it's really best to plan ahead. Because if we just say, okay, I'm gonna like put up my calendar and I'm gonna block it, like here's my 3 minutes, and then you get to 3 minutes, and you're like, what do I do? What is something that you really love and enjoy that you can do in just a few minutes? Like, can you have like a little micro paint set? Can you pull that out? Can it be drawing something that like you can literally sketch something out? Could be reading for a few minutes. Could be buying an adult coloring book or art book and just covering a few pages. Like, I actually highly recommend that. Journaling, listening to music, dancing is a great one. Pulling out like a mini puzzle or sitting on a puzzle and going over and working on it. Sudoku. Is that Sudoku? Sudoku. 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 That's what it is. I'm like, oh, I just don't it all sound right. Okay. Anyhow, you get what I mean. Like something that you're fully present with. Board games are a good thing too. Playing with your kids is a great option. I mean, anything at all that like you can get your kind of body and mind involved in, that you can get it into a trance. Now, don't do something that you don't enjoy and love, because then it's going to take more energy to kind of stick with it. So choose something that's quick and easy. Okay, so we've maybe defined at this point, like what could we do? Now plan it out. When's it going to happen? Do you need to put a reminder in your phone? Do you need to put sticky notes up? Do you need to go buy the materials? Do you need to order the materials? If it's music, pick a playlist. If it's a book, find one, buy one. If it's a coloring book, purchase it or print it offline. If it's dancing, what type of dance? What type of music? Once planned, you need that reminder, either in your phone or the physical like sticky note, something to remind you to do it. Here's mine. For example, like I like to read a couple minutes in the morning. I usually do like a devotional. So beside my hot water tea kettle, I haven't just not even a note anymore. I just put my devotional. So I see that first thing in the morning. I get up, I make my tea, I read a couple minutes of the devotional, and then the baby wakes up. If 5 minutes, I said three, so aim for 3 minutes. I think realistically, I think 3 minutes is possible. The goal is to get really to about 5 minutes. You can start at 5 minutes. If 5 minutes feels like too much, back down to three. Aim for 7 days. If 7 days feels like, oh, that's too perfect. If that's too perfectionistic, or my schedule is too all over the place on the weekends, I don't have as much of a routine, then just go for five. And then the goal is to carry that across 2 weeks. So 3 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week, 2 weeks, 3, 5, 2. And that takes us to today's listener question, which is, what else can get me into flow state? The answer, lots of things. I mean, even cooking can be an act of flow. Gardening can be an act of flow. I like to hike, run, biking, swimming, gaming, yoga, crafts. Should we keep going? So many options. Just search online, like things that will get adults into flow. Search things that get kids into flow, and then try and join them in their flow. The brain can't stay in flow all the time, though. So for you overachievers, don't think that you can spend all day there. It's a creative state, and ideally, optimally, not even ideally, optimally, the brain can last and flow for about 90 minutes to 2 hours. Now, there are some outliers that can't make it quite that long, and some that will go over that. But on average, 90 minutes to 2 hours is about your max flow. which is why the Pomodoro method was created. So if you have not heard of the Pomodoro method, go ahead and check that out. Give that a Google. I'll talk about that some other time. I probably already have talked about it on one of my episodes, but we're not going to go into that today. We are going to go to our tried at home tip, which is spend more time with your kids when they're in flow state. If you don't have kids, how about your pet? Like it could be playtime or a walk. Like you have to walk your pet. You might want to play with your pet depending on the age. And use that time just to be fully present. Just not let your mind wander, not think about the next thing you need to do. Just be fully immersed into that and let yourself get into flow. And that's it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Remember our tried at home tip, which is play with your kids when they're in flow state or play with your pet and bring them into a flow state. If you are looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, and behavior, Behavior Hub was created for that support. I coach a lot of families, coach schools, coach educators on how to manage their own stress and overwhelm, how to deal with human trauma, how to manage behavior. So if you want to discuss that and what that could look like, partnering up to do some of that work, 717-693-7744. That's my cell phone. Or you can send me an email through the Behavior Hub, but I'd love to just chat. If I can't help you, I will let you know who can. Also, if you're looking for support at like an organizational level where you're talking about like workplace culture and burnout and trauma care, that's Five Ives. My partner Jessica Dorning and I created this organization to support organizations mostly with like high secondary trauma, high burnout, company culture that's struggling. And we go in and we coach staff, and actually we really coach mostly leadership. So boards, executive directors, CEOs, and then at some point we may trickle down to the staff level, but most of our support is at the policy and leadership level. All right. If you want more information on that, fiveives.com. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, and thank you for joining me.